I want to bring a message this morning. It's been on my heart all week long. All week. And I didn't really settle down on it till last night because I don't have a great outline, but I got some thoughts on my heart. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs 31 and 30, I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 31 and chapter 30. And then I'm going to look at a verse of scripture in 1 Corinthians also this morning. And I want to preach this morning on this subject. Do something little. That's the title. Do something little. We're in a society where everything is big. Big, big, supersized, bigger is better, more, bigger the better, all that. And in some things that's true. And that thought has got in our churches today, and we even preach to people, do something big for God, do something big for God. I want to preach to you this morning on do something little. Proverbs chapter 30, look at verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 24. Get this down a little bit, Brother Mike. Listen here, if you don't mind. Proverbs 24, 30 and verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. That's the answer of people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Those are four little things that wind up doing big important things. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 right quick. Won't take just a second if you'll hurry up and get over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This scripture says, very well known scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse 25. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God, get this, is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I mean, look at the people God calls in. It's not always the person with the highest grade point average, or the richest guy in town, or that. Not many wise, not many noble. Look at Peter and John and all of them guys. Commercial fishermen. Jesus walked right by them educated Pharisees and picked out an old dirty fisherman down there, said, you the man going to preach a sermon on the day of Pentecost or 3,000 people going to get saved. That's just the way the Lord does things. He walked right by the most religious men of his day and put his hand on James and John. Let me teach you something about God this morning. God is not impressed with our abilities or our talents or our presence or our wit or our looks. Not one bit. That don't impress God one bit. God just won't. Our preacher told us over and over and over, God's not looking for your ability. God's looking for your availability. That puts us all on level ground. I hear so many people say, well, I'd like to do something for the Lord, but I'm not smart and I can't sing and I can't. You're the perfect candidate. You're the perfect candidate. Do something little. Look at this verse of scripture here. Verse 27, 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Why? To confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world. Why? To confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? Look at verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. You know why God does this, son? So people won't stick their head and say, I am the great, wonderful son. No, you're not no great, wonderful, nothing. We had a young man up here. Where's he at? Miss Shelley, Tyler. Oh, he's conked out over there. He sung himself to. I'm glad. Don't mess with him. Don't. He's fine. Did y'all see him up here in the choir a while ago? You know what? That boy's getting a blessing. He just had his 23rd birthday this week. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? He's cool as they come, buddy. I tell you. And listen, can I tell y'all something? Did you know in most churches this side and that, he wouldn't be allowed to sing in the choir?
Right.
You do know that, don't you? You do know. You say, well, you let him in. Yes, I do. You know why? Yeah. To confound you religious people and make you realize God don't need you one bit.
Amen.
That's right. Brother, God, the Lord took the little boy with 5 loaves of bread and fed the 5,000. They didn't need Burger King, Hardee's. You need to learn something about God this morning. God is not a talent scout. He is not. This ain't a spiritual American Idol, brother. Listen, we're here. He hath chosen the weak things to confound the mighty. What do you think I'm doing up here? That's right. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you some stories this morning, and I want you to listen. Watch me a minute, Mike. I need this down just a little bit. Please watch me for a minute. Quit looking at pictures. Listen. I've got a picture album back there. Listen, you know what? God, so he's reading his Bible. He grabbed his Bible and stuck it up. But did you know what? While you're waiting on the big door to open, go through the little door.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
While you're waiting on a big crowd to preach to the little crowd. I know guys that said they was going to the mission field to be a missionary, and we'd go out to eat, and they wouldn't even witness to the waitress. You want God to take you to the mission field, witness to the your next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, I'll build a bus route. Bring the little kids across the street in your car.
Yeah.
Do something little. Do something little. We got a lot of these glory seekers in our churches today. I've had them call me. I had one call me not long ago. He's from somewhere out halfway across the United States. He said, I've been following your ministry. He said, it looks like God's really doing something there in Morganton. He said, I was wondering if you need any help. I said, brother, you call the right man. He said, do you need help? I said, he said, I want to be in a church where I can work. I said, you come on, we'll let you work till your little heart's content. I mean, we got more work. We got more work than you can think about doing. He said, what do you need? I said, we need bus workers. We need weeds cut. We need, and then he said, well, he wanted a paid position, you know. He wanted to be in the spotlight and get a salary is what he wanted. He didn't want to do nothing for God. Listen, if you want God to bless you with something big, be willing to do something little. You want God to do something big in your life, be willing to do something little. Now, everybody stay still now. Now, I want you to listen to him. Sit down now and be real still. You listening this morning? I want to tell you something. You don't have to do big things for God. I'll tell you a story or two here this morning if you'll listen to me. I'm not going to have an outline like I usually do, but this is what God laid on my heart. We had the camp that they're marrying. They still have the camp. They're doing good. Have full camp, full schedule every year. And have a multi-million-dollar property on Lake James. The best view, the best thing that's ever happened to that lake is that youth camp that we started around in 1988. And a lot of people say, Brother Danny, how did you do that? I've had a bunch of people. I've had people in this church say, how in the world did you go uptown and court the big shots and go out to eat with people? No, sure didn't. You say, what did you do to get that started? I'm going to tell you what I've done. Do you say, you must have preached a great sermon or put an ad in the paper and said, we're looking for a land. I announced a great meeting and called all the preachers together and said, we're going to do a great. No, none of it. You say, how'd that youth camp start? I picked my nose in the bank one day. Or something like that. It's true. A lady who worked in the bank come to church one Sunday. Started coming for a while. She said, Brother Danny, I need to talk to you. She said, I know a place that you might be interested in. He was there, that's the reason he knows. And she said, you might be interested in it. And she said, I'll take you to it. We rode out there. When I saw the youth camp, my heart started doing flips.
Something inside me started turning cartwheels. I said, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm going to do this. I knew right then. And then later on, after hundreds of people have been saved and young preachers get called to preach all summer, well, I asked her one time, I said, Brenda, why did you even start coming to our church? I thought she was going to say, well, you had this big, beautiful building, and I heard you preach on the radio, and it touched my heart. She said, you came in the bank one day, and you done something. Standing in line at the bank. I have no idea what it was. I'm bad. I'll give somebody a track. I might have got prayed. I don't know. Oh, God, let this money pay my bills. I don't know what I done. But she said, you done something in the bank. And she said, God spoke to me. And she said, you get down there at that church and help that boy. Yeah. Wasn't no great sermon. I'm trying to teach y'all this morning. You don't have to be blessed Elvis or somebody for God to use you. As a matter of fact, if you'd wind up like Elvis. You better thank God you ain't like that. You ought to thank God you are ugly. I shouldn't have said it like that. You ought to thank God that you're not perfect. How's that? You ought to thank God you ain't got a lot. You ought to thank God because God uses little things that no flesh should glory in His presence. You just preach on the street every Saturday. Every Saturday, preach on the street. The reason I preach on the street because it's an open door. Somebody said, I'm praying for a door to open. There's one open every single day right downtown here in Morganton. Ain't many preachers want to walk through it, but every preacher in the Bible was a street preacher, including Jesus Christ. Every single one. Tell you something happened to me this week. And I'm telling you, this week, I've been in wild, wonderful West Virginia. That's their slogan. You've seen their tag. Now, I don't know about the wonderful part, but the wild is definitely true. I've been in Boone County, West Virginia. I was preaching revival. I'm telling you, they pipe the sunshine in, the moonshine out, brother. I ain't kidding you. I mean, it is mountains straight up. It's just like this, straight. And every town is exactly the same, railroad, river, and mountain straight up. Railroad, river, and street. Railroad, river, and street. Railroad, river, and street. And there's coal trucks everywhere. I was up there preaching. The closest motel was 35 minutes from where I was going. The closest Walmart from there was another 30-something miles. And I was up there in the middle, and I love it. Further back in the mountains, the better I like it. I mean, it's air is clean, but you talk about, Lord have mercy. Well, anyway, I went to church every night, and I had to go through this little bitty town called Madison, West Virginia. And the whole town would be about as long as from the woods back there to the end of our parking lot, the whole town. And just little towns like this, and they was having a coal festival. Now, the coal festival is a big thing. I mean the big thing, the coal festival. I mean, Lord, we ain't got nothing here like the coal festival. They have bumper stickers. I love coal. They have bumper stickers saying, we hate Obama. We love coal, you know, stuff like that. Because the Obama administration's siding with the EPA and trying to, you know, put too many restrictions on them for the coal business. And they make their living. I mean, digging coal and hauling coal and selling coal. And I saw a bumper sticker, man said, coal pays my bills. and they like coal. And I went and spent the night with my cousins. They live about an hour and something from where I was at. Worst place than this. And they the coal festival. Well, I was coming back from church, and they had rides and, you know, just like you see on TV, these little bitty towns have these big festivals, and everybody in four counties was there. You couldn't get through that little town. People was walking back and forth. And the first two nights, I thought, my Lord, I mean, somebody needs to be out here. So the next night, I said, I'm going to stop. And I grabbed me a handful of tracks, and I parked my car, and I got out and hit the street. And I just started going down through there. I mean, I give out a stack of tracks that big in 10 minutes. And everywhere around there was rides, and there was, I mean, you talk, I never seen so many rednecks in one place since youth rally, and there's a lot out there walking around. I mean, you know, you know what I'm talking about. And but these people, boy, they was riding the rides, the Ferris wheel and the scrambler, and they was screaming and hollering. I was out there giving out track, and then I heard music playing, and there's music playing over here, and I thought, what in the world's that? They got some old band up there playing, and the closer I got, I said, man, I'm telling you, these. I don't know who's in there playing. There was thousands of people sitting out there in the dark, in the grass, and standing around this, doing like this, you know. And it was, I punched this guy. I said, who is that? He said, that's Marty Stewart. Marty Stewart, country singer, Marty Stewart. And I said, I've seen him on TV, man. I've seen that guy. He goes, his hair goes way up. He wears his hair like a lesbian. You know how lesbians wear their hair, don't you? They chop it off right here, and it goes way down. You chop, cut right here, and go way down their back. And he's sticking way up like that. And I said, I've seen him on TV. And I'm telling you, he was up there, had on this big black leather jacket, and he had his band up there, and they was all up screaming around. I said, all right. And I come that close to preaching. Someone says, just preach, just preach. And I said, man, I don't know. I see no cops around there. Someone said, just preach. And I said, well, it's loud noise. I believe I quenched the spirit. I should have. But I sure done some witnessing. And I gave out tracts. And he was up there, and he was saying, the whiskey don't work anymore. It ain't working no more. So he kept saying, the whiskey ain't working anymore. I thought, you retard, the whiskey ain't never worked. Hey, man, only the whiskey will work you into a hole somewhere. He got up there and he said, all right, how many of you people been in the Boone County Jail? Half that crowd raised their hand. Woo! He said, that's what I thought. I said, I ain't been in no Boone County Jail. But I was about ready to go, though, if I'd have preached probably in there. But anyway, I wanted to say, listen, I didn't do nothing big, but I tried to make an impact on that place. Just something little. I don't know. There's people in there that fear God. You don't know right now. They may be one of them people getting saved in some church in West Virginia right now. Be willing to do something little. We've had preachers in our church before. I had a preacher one time. He a lot of them just say, well, I want to preach. You need me to preach, let me know. I want to pastor. That's wonderful. And one boy came to me. He said, I'm willing to do anything. I said, drive that bus. He went and got his bus license, drove a bus. He said, if I drive this bus that God's given me to do, maybe God will give me something bigger to do. And that's exactly what God did. He graduated on. Listen, if we're not willing to scrub the toilets in the church, we have no business up here preaching, and I mean that. If we're not willing to help a little kid in, or humble ourselves down a little bit, or cut the weeds in the parking lot, or work on the bus route, we have no business leading anybody. Say amen right there. Little things. Don't have to be big things. Little things. I believe if you'll get up every morning and commit your life to God and pray, the Lord will lead you. Just little things. The day I left, Tuesday, we had a bus title that we hadn't been able to get changed over for 3 months. And we bought it in Statesville. And I was going through Statesville, going to West Virginia, went up 77. And I said, I'm just going to take that bus title and see if I can find them people. Because we got calls from insurance, get that title filled out, Reverend Castle, get that title filled out. And we couldn't find the people we bought it from, didn't know their name, didn't know where it was at. And I said, I'm gonna find it. I've been there one time. So I put that title in my car, and that morning I was prayed up. As a matter of fact, Monday night, the Lord blessed me. Is Lord real to you? I mean, do you know He's working in your life? He was working in my life. I could feel Him. This ain't just something we do on Sunday. It's an everyday life. I mean, God can lead you. I got in the car, and in my mind I was thinking, I know where all the Golden Corrals are from here to the North Carolina line. And I'm going to time this out. I'm going to go get this title signed over. I'll eat at Golden Corral in Hickory, or Statesville, and then I'll head on up to West Virginia. So I went down the road, finally found this place, rode back twice, had to stop somebody where it was. They said, it's right down yonder. And I pulled up and I saw these three guys working on a car. And I pulled up and I said, hey, is this so-and-so? And they said, yes, it is. I said, I'm Danny Castle. We bought a bus down here. They said, yeah, we remember that bus. And that guy said, you ain't going to believe this. You in luck. And I said, what do you mean? He said, the man standing right here that owns this place. How did you know he was here? I said, I didn't know he was here. He said, I only come here once every 6 weeks. He said, you couldn't have timed this no better. How did you know? I said, I didn't know. But the one that taking care of me knows that you was going to be here. We got that bus title signed over. We got it all took care of and everything. You say, oh, Brother Danny, that's just an accident. Well, you know, when stuff like that just happens over and over and over and over, you finally start seeing it. He is leading us. We'll let him. It's not a big thing. God just wants you to take every little day. You don't worry about doing something big. Do something little. Live right today. Can I give you some advice? When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. What, did you get that? That's a West Virginia logic. When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. Read your Bible. Pray. Seek God. I mean, all I'm responsible for is living right today. You say, Lord, I got so many decisions to make, many problems facing, all that. I just don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Come to church tonight. Get in the altar. Seek God. Read your Bible. Pray. That's the best way out of your trouble. That's right. You say, preacher, does that happen all the time? We was over in an old building raising money for this building. And I got up, like I do once in a while, and I said, we're going to raise money to buy that property over on Interstate 40. And I raised up my hand and I said, I'm going to give the first $1,000. I believe that's, he was there too. I said, I'm going to give the first $1,000. And the devil, of course, jumped on me and said, you ain't got no $1,000. What's wrong with you? I mean, if you got any money, you better save it for hard times. You know how it is when you, I said, I'm going to lead the way and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'll give $1,000 and we'll give it on the first Sunday in July or whatever we was going to do. And a bunch of you did that too. Some of y'all raised your hand and everything. Guess what? That Sunday night, when I got through preaching, there was a preacher there that morning. Elderly gentleman, I didn't know him. He came up to me and he said, Danny, I've been wanting to hear you preach for a long time. He said, I just want to come and meet you. He said, can I talk to you a minute? I said, sure. We went to my office. He said, I pastor a little church down here in Hickory. He said, I know you ain't never heard of it. He said, it's little and it's out in the country. And he said, we ain't got but 20, 25 people. And he said, would you come and preach a revival for us? I said, I'll be glad to. And he said, you would? And I said, well, sure I would. I preached in littler, less crowds than that before. And he said, you'd be willing to? And he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. He said, you know that $1,000 you was talking about a minute ago? And I said, yeah. And he said, we're going to give you that $1,000. I just pledged it like 10 minutes before that. I said, what? He said, we'll give you, our little church will give you that $1,000. I said, hallelujah. Inside I was going, thank you, Lord. Amen. I kept, you say, well, Brother Danny, that don't happen often. 25 people. Usually it's 1,000 people and they give you $25. It's not that bad. But anyway, he said, we're going to give you, you know what? I just done a little thing. There is something to this seed, faith, stuff, give it. Now, I know these preachers on TV run it in the ground and they make a mess out of it, but that is a Bible doctrine. Give and it shall be given unto you. Some of you this morning, if you would write a check and catch up on your tithe, and there's no telling what God might do in your life. And I'm not saying that for my benefit. It doesn't matter. It's for your benefit. I'm trying to teach you, do what's right, and you watch God bless you. I'm telling you, it works. Man said this week, he stood up in church the other night and he said, I just want to give a testimony. He said they had he worked at the prison or something, and they had a bus that they'd transport the prisoners from, and he said he was moving it Monday and he backed in the
somebody's car in the parking lot. He said when he backed in that car, he said, he was telling this in church. He said, the devil said, nobody didn't see you. Just go on in there and don't say a word and nobody never know the difference. Don't look down. I'll tell you when it's time for us to pray. He said, the devil said, now nobody never know this, that you hit this car. He looked around, there wasn't nobody looking. Just keep it quiet. Keep your mouth shut. Because it's going to cost a lot of money and you can't afford to have it fixed. Well, he said it got to bothering him. And his conscience started bothering him. And he started thinking, man, that ain't right. That ain't right. Next time you think of something like that, think about if it was the other way around and it was your car. You wouldn't think it was okay, would you? Lord have mercy, y'all. You ought to see the looks in here this morning. That's why the Lord said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Ain't this simple little stuff I'm telling y'all this morning? You don't need to know what the toe on the dragon means and the four beasts of the apocalypse until you start telling the truth and being honest. How about that? Let's start there. Everybody says, well, let's study the deep things of Revelation. Let's just tell the truth to each other first. Maybe God might reveal something else. He said, I got to thinking about that, and he said, I went to my boss, man. He said, I went to my boss, and he said, boss, he said, I'm going to back your bus into a car out there. And he said, I'm Christian. I'm going to revival tonight, and I don't want that on my conscience. I don't want that bothering me. The Bible said, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. If you feel guilty about something, you better believe the Lord, it's worse from his point of view. And he got it right. And he said, I'll just pay whatever it costs. And he said, his boss man looked at him. He said, you know what? He said, I'll talk to our insurance company. He said, I believe I can get this covered. Thank you for being honest. Don't worry about it. And he said, the men that work with, he said, every one of them said, we're interested. We want to come to your church. We respect you. Every one of them said, we respect you for doing the right thing. And that's what the world, listen, they're not looking for another Amy Grant, brother. We don't need another Carmen. We just need some normal Christians who will do the right thing at work, little tiny things, and people watch. And it made a difference. I've done something in the bank. And as a result, thousands of kids got saved. You know what Ray told me? Last Sunday, I believe it was. We were talking about the anniversary. Brother Ray, who's been here every service and for 11 years, he said, you know what made me start coming to your church? I said, tell me. Was it that great sermon on the Pony Express? That's what a lot of people say. Man, that's the best sermon I ever heard. A bride got to her wedding or one of them classics. They say. I said, what was it, Brother Ray? He said, you didn't fight back. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I seen you in Marion, and when said people done bad stuff to you, you didn't say nothing back to them or fight them back. And that's why I started coming to church. What about that? I thought I'd done something great. God does that no flesh should glory in his presence. That way we can't stick our chest out and say, well, I've done this wonderful work. And God, listen, folks, we got this thing about being a Christian. We are not Hollywood celebrities. We're supposed to be just humble servants of God doing little things. Say, encourage. You know somebody in the church that needs encouragement? Just put your hand on the shoulder and say, I'm praying for you. And I miss you and I love you and I want to encourage. Just little things like that. It may not be the sermon. I remember old Ron back there. He always said in his testimony, he said, the reason I kept coming to your church, and I said, I preached a good one, didn't I? He said, no. Linda Hout kept calling me and inviting me. That's what he said. See what I mean? It wasn't preaching. I tell you what you do. You want to hear a story? You come back tonight, and I'm going to tell you a story that will blow your mind about the wild, wonderful whites of West Virginia. Anybody ever heard of Jesco White? MTV made a film of them. Y'all seen him? Lord have mercy. And the bad thing about it is one of their families named Derek Castle.
I said, no, it's on the internet. Look up the wild, wonderful whites. White, like white, of West Virginia. Unbelievable. They made a Hollywood, made a movie and everything. That's the county I was in this week. I'm going to tell you about it tonight. But you know what we need to do? Simple. We need to just make up our mind. God, I'll give $115 and send a kid to camp that can't afford to go. God, I'll just get up here and do the best I can and sing it in the choir. And I'll sing from my heart. You don't know. Y'all remember Miss Judy, how she'd sing in the choir? And people all over the church would sit there and watch her sing. That's just a little thing. But it blessed thousands of people. God don't need a millionaire. He don't need a talent show. God don't need. All God wants is for you to be willing. That's what he wants. Would you be willing this morning? See, that takes away your excuses, don't it? That takes away all your excuses. You ain't got none. Let's stand. Bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Why are you waiting on a big door?